Welcome to another Baseball America Prospect Podcast Top 30 Deep Dive. We are diving into the Texas Rangers Top 30 today. I'm Jeff Ponce. I am joined by my colleague Josh Norris, who has done the Texas Rangers Top 30 for us for quite a while. Josh, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
Doing well.
Well, I don't think we need to waste any time here. Let's start with the top question, and that is, how difficult was it to rank Sebastian Walcott number one in the system? At the time, he didn't have an injury. We now know Walcott more than likely is to miss all of the 2026 season, or at least most of it. Would that have impacted your decision? Do you think Scarborough would have been the one?
No.
Yeah. No, okay. I kind of assumed that was the answer. So
yeah, it would have been Walcott at one. Like, I'm not real worried about a position player missing time with Tommy John surgery. It's just outside of, you know, the missed reps, which, you know, really helps, obviously. But the way I like to put this in perspective is, like, we have, you know, Rock Chalowski, the UCLA shortstop, number one on our draft board. Everybody thinks, you know, self included, slam dunk, amazing player, high in the top 100 once he's a pro. Sebastian Walcott's younger than him. And he was in Double A last year. And it wasn't like the super loud, like fireworks type season, like a Connor Griffin type season, but it was pretty good. You know, and he spent it the entire year at Double A. He more than held his own. There's stuff to work on still. And there's still questions about where he's going to wind up eventually. That might be where the elbow stuff comes in. It's like, does that move him off the infield permanently? Does that move him like to the left field or something? But he's still got loads of potential. We just have to wait on it a little longer. And I think the gap between him and Scarborough is pretty big, as seen by our top 100 as well.
Yeah, I kind of assumed that, but figured I would at least throw it out.
Yeah.
I will say that with Walcott, maybe versus other position prospects, because he's always been so young for the level, that's kind of been one of the things that, say, you know, has pushed him up to such lofty status. I think the hit tool has grown by leaps and bounds over the last 2 years. And the Double A year, though, like, it wasn't overly impressive. It was a solid season. He was obviously incredibly young for the level. All those prerequisites, et cetera, apply. But, you know, what kind of player do you think he ultimately ends up as? We know the upside, if all the tools click, could be an all-world kind of a player. What do you think is a more reasonable outcome for Walcott?
Well, obviously, we'll have to see how the defensive side of the game holds up after when he comes back from the surgery. If his arm is degraded a little bit, because right now pre-surgery, he's got a pretty good arm. But you might look at a 4-tool player with big-time power, below-average hit, and can do a lot of things on the bases, and we'll see on defense. It does change the profile a little bit if he has to move to an outfield spot instead of the shortstop or third base, which we're not, you know, out of the question. Our own Bill Mitchell, enterprising photographer, has already seen him taking ground balls at third base in surprise this year. So that, I assume he's not throwing the ball, but at least just picking it up and dropping it in a bucket. So that changes a little bit, but I still think this guy has a really, really high ceiling, and now you just have to wait another year for it. And, you know, maybe this time he is the leader of the surprise squad in the Arizona Fall League, you know, 8 months from now.
You're always looking forward to the AFL rosters. I appreciate
nothing. I look
that.
Forward to more.
It's unbelievable. I think this is another easy question to probably answer. So, how is this system better or worse than last year? And I think with the Walcott news, it's even worse than it probably was a month ago.
Yeah, I mean. It's worse because they traded a lot of guys from it. They traded some of their better pitching prospects to get Merrill Kelly, and then they traded some more of their prospects to get Mackenzie Gore from the Nationals. So it's just, you know, take Walcott and you spike your number one prospect for a year, and then you take like 7 or 8 prospects away from it. It's going to be worse. It's in the lower realm. I don't remember exactly where it is in our top 30 organizations, but it's low. You know, right now it's there's some guys who are coming back, like Winston Santos could figure into the big leagues this year. Jose Corniel already made his big league debut. He could be back there this year. Josh Owens is really interesting. Caden Scarborough, obviously pretty interesting. There's some interesting guys, but the depth falls off pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I would have to say it seems like the trades in particular have, you know, been the biggest culprit, you know, with the lack of depth in this system, because there was a period last year where it felt like they were starting to build back some of that depth, particularly on the pitching side. You know, you had Scarborough, obviously, as a breakout. Hageman was one that was coming back from injury and it kind of started to show some signs of breaking out. Cole Drake had a pretty phenomenal year and then, you know, was kind of somebody who, for at least, you know, for them on the major league side, was kind of right on the cusp of the big leagues. He gets traded in that Merrill Kelly trade. That Merrill Kelly trade looks really bad right now, especially considering Kelly went back and signed with the Diamondbacks. So it's almost as if, you know, you really got nothing for him at all. And the Diamondbacks have all those players back in their team. But I felt like that trade really cut into the core of it. And then the Gore trade did as well. But I think that if you're a Rangers fan, you can probably, you know, you're okay with the Gore deal. You're not upset that they traded away the depth from the system to bring in a young starting pitcher that has a couple of years of control. But for a rental, when you don't make the playoffs, I feel like that one stings a little bit because you ended up as a 500 team either way.
Right. And, you know, I'm never, ever going to criticize a general manager for going for it. The name of the game is to try to win. Said it 1,000 times. They do not raise banners or hand out trophies for the best farm system in the game. But you try, and we saw 2 years ago at this point what it looks like sometimes when you catch lightning in a bottle. Sometimes it does end in a parade. That's fine. But right now, the system is a little depleted. I mean, you lost your first rounder. You lost some interesting depth pieces. The other thing that really kind of hurts this team right now is the last couple first rounders, not including Gavin Fien, or the last couple hired draft picks from 2024, did not have great years. Malcolm Moore was injured a lot of the year and did not produce when he was healthy. Dylan Dreiling showed signs of life, but that was an issue. Alejandro Rosario, obviously since traded, did not, you know, was out the entire year and could have capitalized on it like even more than he already did. You had a guy like Isaac Tiger, who's among my picks to click for this year, who was out the entire year. It just wasn't a lot of guys who were healthy and productive at the same time this year. And now there's just fewer players. Like, I'm looking at the handbook index from, you know, when we set the book to press, there's like 4 or 5 guys gone from it already. So if I were to start writing the 2027 chapter right now, I would have to find 5 more guys.
That's the last thing you want to do between this and the Yankee system. I felt like your systems more than anybody else this offseason, and you have 5 systems, so you have more systems than anyone else, but they were particularly depleted as we went through this process. And so it felt like the trade only came exclusively from your systems. And
I remember the Gore trade. I had driven, I was going to run some errands. I'd just gotten to where I was. I turned on my phone as he passed his notification. I'm like, I have to go back home right now. Go rate that. That's a big one. That's a real big one. And then, you know, the Ryan Weathers trade with the Yankee system. The Dodgers dealt some guys. The Phillies dealt some guys. Yeah, I think I lost probably 40 prospects among my 5 systems.
Yeah, so this system is kind of way down, and I felt like they were kind of tracking back up. You know, I won't criticize a general manager for going for it, but I will criticize a general manager for not making a good read on where his team is at competitively versus other teams in the division, in the American League, and the quality that you're getting back in a Merrill Kelly and where that puts you. I will criticize that a little bit. I do think Young, it was a miscalculation. Obviously, he's won a World Series and, you know, was our org of the year at one point. So it hasn't all been bad, but I thought that was a miscalculation on his part. Hey, you swing and you miss when you get up to bat though, right? That's how it goes when you play the game. All right, Josh, who is your guess to be number one next year in this system?
It's probably going to be Sebastian Walcott. I mean, that's one of those, you know, I just joked about it a little bit ago. I think you can probably write that capsule right now, more or less. You know, he's had or is going to have some sort of elbow surgery. I don't remember if it was internal brace or not, but going to miss most of the year. If I had to pick someone else, if there's an outside dark horse contender, I think it's going to be Josh Owens, quite frankly. It's a tricky one, but I was really I'm kind of becoming a little bit of a sucker for these two-way guys, and it's interesting to see how his fortunes reverse. Like, I think our scouting report was we had him better as a hitter, and then he gets to instructional league and not looking as great as a hitter, but he's looking pretty darn good as a pitcher. And there's a lot of really fun, you know, traits and pitches to be developed there, and athleticism at the Yang. So if there's not Walcott, I would probably put my imaginary chips on Owens, but it's probably going to be Walcott.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the thing with this Ranger system. Like, I don't all these questions are very straightforward. Usually there's a little bit more debate, a little more give and take, and it's like, I don't even know what direction you go, because maybe 2 weeks ago, if we recorded this podcast, we're like, yeah, Walcott maybe gets up, maybe he graduates, maybe he graduates on service time. I don't think it was probably likely, but there was at least some possibility that that reality could occur. At this point, he's almost certain to not graduate unless he speeds up and is way ahead of schedule and somehow comes back in, you know, August, which I don't even think is a remote possibility.
No.
I don't know where you go, because, like, as good as Caden Scarborough, I think Caden Scarborough is a good pitching prospect. Even if he has a phenomenal year, he'd be pushing up to where Walcott's ranked now, even with the injury, even if we move him back a little bit. Like, if Caden Scarborough is a great year, wins minor league pitcher of the year, Jonah Tong was ranked, like, what, 34th? You know?
Yeah, but what doesn't, are
talking doesn't about guarantee it. That Scarborough is going to be a top 15 prospect. He's not. So I don't even know if there's another option here at one that you can even really argue.
All he'd have to do was eclipse Walcott, and you could probably fudge that a little bit. Like, with Tong, he had this Nolan McLean-sized mountain in front of him, and then maybe a little bit of Carson Benj kind of at the pass as well. So that wouldn't be out of line, but there's so much more to do with Scarborough to get him to that kind of ceiling.
Yeah. And I was saying, like, even like the big step up, like if it was a Tong level jump, you know, which he doesn't even have to make that as big of a jump as Tong, but like it's that big of a jump, he's still not going to rank in the top 20 prospects. It's only the elite of the elite pitching prospects. And we saw this year, we had a few more because we had a whole bunch of those guys pitch in the big leagues and pitch really well. And guys like Savage and McLean and Tully, et cetera. So, like, there were some in that mix. And, yeah, I just don't know if it's even possible for Scarborough to get up there, because we're not going to move Walcott down that much. The upside is still tremendous.
No, he would just get pushed down by, like, draft guys maybe.
Yeah, which, you know, there's some potential there. But they pick, you know, middle of the first round, right? So
No. I've been by just – but in the, I guess I've switched to the top 100. But
you're saying top 100. Yeah, totally. Yeah, agree. You know, and it's a good class. So there's going to be a fair amount of guys that rank pretty highly. Let's move on to the last question here. What is this organization good at developing, Josh? When we go through the Rangers, we look at what they have at the major league level, the guys that have come through the system, whether traded or not. What have they got? What have they gotten to a point where they're good at developing?
I think right now they've developed pitching well enough that they've been attractive. Like, those three arms that they traded to Arizona were, you know, good enough to be attracted to get Merrill Kelly. I believe there were some arms in Alejandro Rosario was in the Gore deal. And a lot of it's funny, like, you know, Rosario hasn't pitched for a while, but he was impressive enough in that stint in 2024 when he still had value. Cole Drake, you know, that guy jumped out of nowhere. Like you said, Mitch Bratt got enough velocity that he was attractive in that trade. And Hageman, once he came back from the surgery, was gangbusters. And I saw his first pro start, and silly me, I chalked up him, you know, being as good as he was to just, like, you know, dominating children. He's a college guy in the early stages of the complex league, and that's what they should do. I should have looked at it more in a vacuum and seen that the stuff was pretty darn good. And probably was good enough to play, you know, low A, high A, and play pretty well in the fall league too. So they've developed enough pitching to get what they need. And they've made strides with guys like Jack Leiter, and to a lesser degree, Kamar Rocker, although his stuff has been a lot of, there's been a lot of injury issues and a lot of command issues, but I think pitching is probably their strongest suit right about now. Although, you know, we're not that far removed from Wyatt Langford, and Evan Carter is still a bit of a wild card.
Yeah, you know, I think that's true. But I think, yeah, you look at even like some of the guys that graduated as prospects and took some time, like Jack Leiter has turned into, you know, a really good rotation piece now, honestly. You know, had a really good year last year, had a really strong second half. He's kind of out of the woods. You know, and there's other arms that have come through the system. Cole Reagans obviously is another one. They traded him away, but it was almost overnight that he became a sensation with the Royals, that I don't really want to give them any development credit there necessarily. So I think you're right with pitching. I think they've gone in that direction. I think it makes some of their pitching draft picks, when they make a few of them in the top 5 to 6 rounds, a little bit more interesting. The things that I've heard about Josh Owens, it sounds like he could end up on the mound long-term too. I don't think they're going to close the door in the two-way thing. But it sounds like, at least internally from what I've heard, they were more impressed by what took place when he pitched than when he hit. And that was not necessarily how they viewed him on draft day. So, you know, might be another interesting sort of ball of clay for them to work with here. Josh, any sort of closing thoughts here before we wrap up the video portion of this Rangers podcast?
Not really. I mean, it's kind of cut and dried. You know, you have a big blow with Walcott, and you have a depleted system thanks to trades, and you gotta start building it back up again through, you know, they might get creative at the deadline and deal big league pieces to refurbish their system, see how they do in the draft, see how some of these injured guys come back. But you know, right now, it's not one of the better systems in the game, and they would tell you that.
I think you're right. For those of you tuning in on YouTube, this is going to be the end of our show. For those tuning in on the podcast feed, we got more to come right after this quick break. All right. And we are back. We are talking more Ranger system. This is the Baseball America Prospect Podcast. Jeff Ponce, Josh Norris. Josh, we're moving on to the next question here. Who are some of the sleepers outside of the top 10? I feel like I should say, who are some of the sleepers outside of like the top 4? Well, talk to me about some interesting Rangers.
They did mention, I did mention Isaac Tiger a little bit ago, and he was a guy that was supposed to, I mean, probably would have my sleeper pick last year if you go look at this podcast last year, but he missed the year with, I think it was Tommy John, and he's got big arm from the JC ranks, big slider, big fastball. I think he makes an impact, you know, in the minor leagues this year. He does what he was supposed to do last year, this year. So I'm excited to see him at some point, where, whether it's in Hub City or wherever. Who else we got on here? Jack Wheeler, big time power, big time athlete out of high school. I pushed pretty aggressive with it at 20. I like Paxton Kling, a football prospect as well. I'll take a chance on that long-term athleticism. You know, you can't quite quit Cameron Cawley. I still like the twitch there. And boy, did he look good in center field in some clips you watch on Synergy. Like, I don't think shortstop's in the cards anymore, but he can really go get it in center field. When the system was intact, I think my last call was him versus Abimelech Ortiz. And I went with Cawley because I like the athleticism more and the more paths to value than Ortiz, who really has to bang to have any value. And now he does have to bang for Washington. So that was another one that kind of screwed up my 31 through 40. But, you know, there's still something there, I think, with Cam Cawley. Oh, and Leandro Lopez, I'm going to be cheating at number 11, although he's probably in the top 10 now at this point. They got him in better shape. He started throwing more strikes. He's got a banger curveball. He might make an impact in the bullpen this year. That's a long-term play that I'm really happy we were pretty early on. I think we were on him in the DSL. So those are some guys that I would think of that are kind of sleeper-ish, even though Lopez is kind of cheating at this point.
Yeah, I think those are all really interesting names. overall. Let me throw a Josh Norris specific question at you.
Uh-oh.
Are there any international guys coming over from the DSL, ACL guys that are going to be in a full season level that we should be paying some attention to or at least be aware of going into next year? I feel like the Rangers typically at least have something interesting in the complex levels.
This might be the exception. Like, Ilorki Rodriguez is kind of interesting, but they need to find a defensive home for him. He hit pretty well in the DSL last year. Paulino Santana kind of idled a little bit. Missed, you know, a little bit of a wild card with Sung Joon Kim coming over from overseas. We haven't seen him at all. I think he's only done stuff in Dominican Instruct, so this might be his first stateside action this year. But other than that, it's not a whole lot coming over in that regard. So we'll see. I thought you were going to ask if I was going to figure into this top 30. Like, I'm not out of eligibility, but I'm out of, you know, athleticism and talent and anything to impact any system. So I am not going to be on there. When you said Josh Norris specific, I was a little scared where that was going.
Yeah, do you think you can get out there and maybe man shortstop for one of the complex
I can teams? Get hit by a pitch with the best of them.
it's a one-tool skill set, but you know, if you do it well enough,
I could probably get to a 10% walk rate. I could probably get to a 10% walk rate in the DR. That's about it.
I bet you could do that just by keeping the bat in your shoulder.
Just stand there, yeah.
Yeah, I believe in you. All right, Josh, let's wrap this up. A little bit tighter than our typical deep dives, but there's not a whole lot to deep dive on with the Rangers right now. So forgive us. But Josh, any closing thoughts here on this Rangers system? Kind of looking back, moving forward, where does the system go from here? What do they need?
They need bodies. but I'm really disappointed about the Walcott stuff. Like I thought for sure he was going to be maybe a big leaguer this year. I love the ceiling on him. I love the talent. You know, been really excited to see him since I saw that first year, whatever it was, 2022 at this point, 2023 in the ACL or was Instruct, whatever. When I was down there to see Ethan Salas, and you know, they were playing against them on the backfield. It was pretty fun to watch that guy. You know, I'm excited to see some of these other guys. Corniel get back to the big leagues. I'll see what Owens looks like on the mound. The further development of Scarborough, what he looks like when he gets a deeper arsenal. Yolfrand Castillo is going to be an interesting development story. I would love to see Emiliano Teodo put it all together at some point. But, you know, it's just not very, very deep right now, which is what happens when you make a lot of trades.
There you go. There you have it. It's been the Ranger system. Jeff Ponce, Josh Norris, thanks everybody for tuning in. And thanks as always for subscribing to Baseball America. We'll be back with another one.